What a great Savior we have. Amen. What a song. You know, we have the privilege to worship our Savior. Think about that. What a great, great song. What a powerful song. Let's open our Bibles tonight to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 12. I'm excited to have the opportunity and the privilege to preach this evening. I will warn you, though, Wawa was giving away free coffee today. And so, listen, I'll be an Eagles fan for free coffee. Free coffee. So I'm a little wound up. So if I'm going a little fast, I'll try and I people tell me I talk too fast anyway. And now I'm about four or five cups of coffee today. So yes. So at some point I may need to just rein it back in a couple of notches. Hebrews chapter number 12, championship Christianity. There is a game going on this evening, but praise the Lord for believers who are here tonight. Amen. And listen, we'll go home, and I'm sure we'll turn on the sets, and we'll watch it either on DVR or whatever, but praise God that we found it important enough to be in the house of God today to worship our Savior and to hear from the Lord. You know, I wish I could say that was my story all my life, but it wasn't. Praise God for His forgiveness, and praise God that He shows us and puts us on the right path. Hebrews chapter number 12, start reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word. Lord, we're thankful for your unfailing grace. Lord, where would we be without your grace? And Lord, we are so thankful for all you've done for our salvation. Lord, for the sacrifice that you made for us and for your love for us. And Lord, I just pray tonight that as we open up your word, Lord, and we just take some time to look into your word, Lord, I would just pray that Lord, the words I speak tonight would be your words. I pray, Lord, that you would use me, Lord. I pray that, Lord, that the words would be the words of Jesus Christ. Lord, empower me tonight, Lord. I pray that you would bless us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, the Bible has much to say about athletics. The Apostle Paul wrote over and over again at different times, and he used the illustration of athletics in the Bible, and I thought, well, okay, the Super Bowl's tonight, so it's a good opportunity to kind of look at some of those passages of Scripture and how we can be champion Christians. How can we live our life, our Christian life, victorious? Because you know what? God doesn't desire for us to live defeated. He wants us to be victorious in all we do. As a matter of fact, he says we are more than conquerors. The problem is, I think sometimes something gets lost in the direction we take, and we don't understand how to be victorious Christians. Well, let's look at some of these passages that the Bible talks about when it talks about different types of athletic competitions and how we can apply those to our lives and how we can understand that we can be victorious. The world tells us otherwise, and people will run you down, and people will tell you that your Christianity is foolish and it's vain, and yeah, that's right, you go to church, ha, 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 and you know, we're going to go out and have fun today. But you know what? You know what? That's what's important. You know what? That's what our Savior desires for us to do. You know what? That's what God called us to do. And no matter what the world may say, our focus needs to be on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. So let's look at this first passage here in Hebrews chapter number 12, and right away you see, and I'm so thankful, you know, when I was putting this together, I mean, I knew we were singing that choir song tonight, but I didn't realize it as I was putting it together. It lines up right with this first passage. I'm running. And Pastor Nick said it when he was up here introducing the song. Listen, the Christian race is a marathon. The Christian race is not a 50-yard dash, a 110-meter dash. It is a marathon. And it's a marathon that we need to continue running each and every day of our lives. How do we run a race of that magnitude and continue to be victorious? Well, I think in Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about it. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The first thing I look at here is the preparation for being or having championship Christianity. The preparation. Listen, every athlete has to prepare properly. Every athlete needs to prepare properly. You know, an athlete that's preparing to play, whether it's a Super Bowl or a World Series or a marathon race, they don't go to McDonald's for 3 months leading up to the race and then expect to do well. That doesn't bode well. Their diet, their preparation, their training, all of that goes into play. As a Christian, we need to be prepared for the race we're running. That preparation takes place each and every day in our lives. The first thing I see here is, he says, let us lay aside every weight. The first thing I see here is our emancipation. The word emancipation just means freedom. He says, lay aside every weight. What weight are we carrying around today? What weight are we carrying around that's hindering us from running the race that God desires for us to do? There's a runner who's run in the last couple of Olympics. His name is Usain Bolt. He is known, I mean, you can argue it, but he's known right now as the fastest man in the world. His nickname is the Lightning Bolt. But he is known as the fastest man in the world. To you superheroes, it's not the Flash, it's Usain Bolt. Flash is not a real person. Okay. But Usain Bolt is known as the fastest man in the world. And I found it interesting that part of his training, what he does to train for his races, he has this belt that he wears, and it's kind of like a weightlifting belt, but it's a little bit different. He wears it around his waist, and on the back of the belt, he has a strap that's attached to this belt that then attaches to a platform, probably like a 3x3 or 4x4 type of platform that lays flat on the ground. And on this platform, he has like a stake that sits right in the middle of it. And what that stake is there for, he takes free weights and piles them on there, 25, 50, 75 pounds worth of weight. Then he runs in a field with this strap around his waist and 50, 75 pounds tied around his waist. Why? So that when he's free of these weights, he feels like he could run on air. You know what? What a perfect illustration of what we do in our Christian life. You know what we do? We pile the weights on that platform over and over and over again, and then we want to run victoriously. And you know what happens? We can't move. We can't move. There are weights that we carry around in our life that God never intended for us to carry. There are things that, listen, self-inflicted things that we put in our life that God never intended, and then we try and run the race, and we feel like we're dragging a piano up a mountain, and we get nowhere. And he said, I run with those weights as fast as I can. He says, I can't move that quickly, but as soon as I take those weights off, he says, man, I feel like I can fly, like I'm not running on the air. And you know what the Bible is saying? Lay aside those weights. When you take those weights off of that platform, man, you can run. Man, you can run that race. You say, well, how can I be victorious? By getting rid of those weights. What are some of those weights? Look at Luke chapter 8, verse 14. Look at Luke chapter 8 and verse number 14. There are weights. This is the parable of the sower. And in verse number 14 of Luke chapter 8, there's one particular passage that I wanted to point out. It says this. This is the words of Jesus Christ. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. We get so focused on worldly cares and riches and the pleasures of this world that we are so burdened down and so weighted down that we can't do anything for Jesus Christ. Now listen. I believe the Lord allows us to enjoy these blessings. I believe the Lord gives us things in our life to enjoy these blessings. However, okay, a lot of the things that we have in our life aren't necessarily wrong. The problem is we put them in the wrong priority. See, the pleasures and the riches and the desires and all these things that God sometimes, hey, allows us to enjoy, and God blesses us with different riches and allows us to enjoy certain things, they become number one in our life. And the Lord is no longer in the proper place. And what we start to do is our focus then becomes on attaining these things instead of praising the God who allowed us to enjoy them. And so those things become weights in our life. Listen, you know, when you think about the things that we have in our life, maybe there's something in our life right now that's weighing us down. You know, and you say, well, what are those things? Well, what is our focus on? What is our life focused on? And that'll tell you right away where your attention needs to be. Is our focus on glorifying and praising our God every chance we get? Or is it on something else? The weights of this world. Luke chapter 9 and verse 59, just a couple of pages over. This is a story of discipleship. And in verse 58, Jesus says, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." And you know, he had placed his family relationships ahead of the Lord. And listen, I'm not saying you toss your family to the side. That's not what I'm saying at all. But sometimes friendships and family can hold us down. They can hold you down. Even well-intentioned people. Listen, our direction and our counsel needs to come from the Lord, needs to come from the Word of God. As well-intentioned as people may be, sometimes their counsel may not line up with what God wants us to do. And so we don't want to take on the weight of the world and the weight of these things and carry this on. God has something great he desires for every one of us in this room to do. But we can't do that if we're not free from the weights that we're carrying around. Look at one more passage, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. In verse 22. Ephesians 4:22, it says, "That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." You know what some of the weights in our life are? We keep focusing on the old man. You know, the Israelites did that. Oh, man, we miss all that good stuff. We miss all the good food we had over there. Man, do you remember how good they took care of us? They were in bondage. But you know what? They failed to remember that. What they chose to remember was, oh, look at the food we had. And they had lost sight of God's blessings. And sometimes, you know, we could be in the midst of a trial. It could be a trial of our own doing, or it could be a trial of God trying to mold us and shape us and you know, draw us closer to him through the trial, whatever the case is. But when a trial comes along, sometimes we look back and we go, you know, I had it easier back then. And we don't remember the heartache and the hopelessness that we had when we didn't have Christ in our life. You know, I was thinking, you know, there was a song I was listening to this afternoon as I was driving home, and it reminded me of that no matter what we go through, God is always with us. Can we ever say that before we were saved? Do we ever have that assurance, that hope, that joy in our heart, that no matter what took place, that God was with? Listen, we had no hope until Christ saved us. And now our hope is in the Lord. And you know what? No matter what may come, we know God is always with us. You could be in the worst tragedy. Don't look back at the old life, because the devil will convince you that old life, man, that was great. How about the regret? No, that life was great. Don't you remember all the fun we used to have? Uh-huh. And the regret and the sorrow and the pain and the anguish and the hurt and the broken relationships and friendships. See, we block those things out and we say, but it was so good. No. Don't look back at the old life. Listen. That old man, he needs to be crucified, because we're new creations in Jesus Christ. So let us lay aside every weight, our emancipation. And then he goes on to say, and the sins which so easily beset us. As I read that, the first thing I wanted to know is, what does that word beset mean? That word beset means to skillfully surround us. And I said, okay. Then as I read this again, it says, the sins which so easily. Why do sins so easily surround us? And I thought, you know what? Because we have stopped being sober. We have stopped being vigilant. We have become desensitized to sin because we have allowed things in our life that God never intended for them to be there. Listen, the more, I shared this with my Sunday school class this morning. You know, sin never ends with just a little taste. Sin never ends with a little dabbling. Sin never ends with just a, let me just try this out. You know, before you know it, okay, you thought you had control over that sin, and before you know it, that sin now has control of you. And it says, the sins which does so easily beset us. Oh, I can handle it. Have you ever heard that? And you know what happens? Instead of being free, like the Bible tells us God desires for us to live, and Paul even says that sin shall have what? No dominion over you. We now allow that sin to have dominion over us. And those are the weights the weight that so easily, the weights that we carry around and the sins which does so easily beset us. Listen, we need to be sober. We need to be vigilant. Why? Because the devil is subtle. He's the master of deception. He's the king of subtlety. He will do everything and anything. He will twist the word of God. He will convince you that what you're doing is good, even though it goes against everything the word of God says. And next thing you know, you're back in bondage to sin. Because listen, I know of people, you know, who thought that they had, you know, the drug problem. Oh, it's just recreational. And next thing you know, they couldn't live without it. Okay? That's how sin works. I used to tell people, I said, listen, don't even let the devil get a foothold in the door. Shut that door. Because all you need to do, you know, because this is what we do. You're like, let me just take a peek. I want to see what's going on. They're all having so much fun. The devil's trying to deceive you. Listen, almost 33 years old when I got saved. My wife was almost 32 when we got saved. And there was enough heartache that we witnessed in our life prior to that. I would never, ever want to go back to that. And I see young people today who say, oh, come on, look at how much fun they're having. It isn't fun. It isn't fun. God desires, if you're going to be prepared, you need to be free of those weights. Need to move on. Next thing he says is, let us run the race with patience. As Pastor Nick said before, it's a marathon. We need to have endurance. I'm not an endurance person when it comes to sports, probably because I'm pathetically out of shape, but I'm not an endurance person. I did try running for a period of time in my life. Running is not for me either. It's boring and it's just the same thing over and over again. I remember years ago, our job used to go out with the Road Runners Club, and they used to run these 5-mile races. And I'll try this. I'll see if I can do this. I was like in my 30s. And I said, well, how difficult can this be? And I was running one summer afternoon. I'll never forget it. It was about 90 degrees at 10 in the morning. And I thought I was going to drop dead on the side of the highway because there was a running track there. And there was this woman who must have been about 35 or 40 years older than me. And she ran by me like I was nothing. And you talk about humility. And I said, you know what? This is not for me. I'm going to stick to what I know, basketball, football. I'm going to leave this running thing for others. But you know what? The Christian life, you need to have endurance because you're going to face a lot of things. You know what? The race is long. If your anticipation is, hey, I'm going to do something for God today and I'm done, forget it. It's a long race. How long? Until the Lord calls you home. I thought, listen, you know what? We're older and, you know, listen, God still has something for you to do. As long as you have breath, he has something he wants you to do. It's a long race. It's an arduous race. It would be nice if all races were always downhill. That'd be a piece of cake. But that's not the case, is it? A lot of the race we run is uphill. And sometimes you feel like you take one step forward and 5 steps backward, and you're like, I'm not getting anywhere. Keep pressing on. Keep pressing on. You know, you look at some of the prophets. You look at Jeremiah. Wow. If anybody had reason to quit, it was him. They didn't listen to anything he said. Nothing. I thought being the principal of a school was bad. Imagine that. Nobody listened to anything he said. But you know what? He just kept going on. And listen, there's going to be times we're going to come to those difficult times in our life and we're going to face challenges. You know what? The race is long. It's arduous. It's challenging. There's going to be times we may not even know what to do. You know what God does? You keep trusting him. You keep relying on his grace and he'll guide your path. If we had put aside these weights and we leave the sins behind us and we just keep keeping our eyes on Jesus Christ. We live in an instant gratification society. We want satisfaction now. If there's no instant results, we quit. That's not the way the Christian life is supposed to be. I see it nowadays. You know, I talk to a lot of the students and the kids and stuff, and, you know, everybody wants to be an NBA most valuable player. But they don't want to do push-ups during practice. And I'm like, well, this is hard. Yeah. I said, well, you just wake up one day and you're going to be an NBA professional basketball player? No, it requires a lot of work. But if we don't see the results right away, we quit. We quit. Oftentimes, we don't have patience to endure because we don't see the end. A lot of times, we want the end result. We want to know what the final result is. Well, if I know that this is going to be worth it, then I'll keep pressing on. Can I tell you, serving Jesus is always worth it? We sing that great song, it will be worth it all. And listen, you may not know what tomorrow holds or next week or next year, but it will be worth it all. James chapter 5 and in verse 7 says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Listen, we don't know when that day is, but we know it's coming. And that's where our hope is. Listen, we don't have to doubt. We don't have to fear because we know Jesus is returning one day. We don't have to doubt it. We just have to be patient and keep serving the Lord until that day or until he calls us home. Endurance. The last thing is our example. In verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 12, he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You know, Jesus is our example, our motivation, our focus, why we do what we do. You know, every athlete has a purpose. Every athlete has a focus. You know, when I was playing basketball when I was younger, one of the struggles I had, I always, when the pressure was on or we were playing before a larger crowd of people, I always got really nervous. And I had a coach who pulled me aside and he said, what you need to do is just focus on what your objective is. Focus on the basket. Tune everything else out. It's as if you're the only one in the gym and it's just you and the basket. And that took a lot of training. But you know what? He was right. Because what you do is you tune everything else out and you keep your eyes on what your objective is. Listen, our Christian life needs to be like that. Our Christian life needs to be that we're so focused on Jesus Christ that we don't see anything else. Charles Spurgeon put it this way. What a great quote. You are, I hope you can see it, you are to look from all beside to Jesus. Fix not thy gaze upon the cloud of witnesses. They will hinder thee if they take away thine eye from Jesus. Look not on the weights and the besetting sin. These thou hast laid aside. Look away from them. Do not even look upon the race course or the competitors, but look to Jesus and so start the race. That's how you run the race. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. He's our example. By the way, Jesus Christ is more than just our example. He's our Savior. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. But yes, he is our ultimate example. So we need to keep our eyes. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Revelation 1:8 says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Amen. He's the author and he's the finisher. Hebrews 2:10, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Listen, he is our ultimate example. Keep your eyes on him. You're going to run the race, keep your eyes focused on Jesus Christ. Don't turn away. There's going to be a lot of things along the way that you want to quit. If you've ever read Pilgrim's Progress, that's a big theme of it. As Christian is walking through the path, there's things to the left and to the right of them. You know, there's, I think it was the pit of despair and things and sounds and noises and all kinds of things to distract you, things that bring fear into our life. Don't worry about those things. Keep your eyes on Christ. Keep your eyes focused on him. Listen, where Christ has called us to be, he will be there with us. He will be empowering us. He will be directing us, guiding us. When we fall, he lifts us up. He doesn't leave us empty-handed without any help. He's there guiding us. But we need to trust him by faith and keep our eyes on him. So the preparation, number two, is the provision. It's nice that we have a provision. If you're going to run a race, you need to know what you're getting into, right? The first, look over in Ephesians chapter 6, passage that we're familiar with. Ephesians chapter number 6. Another passage that speaks of athletic competition. In this case, wrestling. Another sport that I know very little about. I'm not a very coordinated person, even though I love sports. And so, you know, wrestling, no. Verse number 12 of Ephesians 6. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. The provision is this. First of all, we have to recognize who the enemy is. Recognize your enemy. One of the biggest mistakes we make in our Christian life is underestimating the devil. Oh, I got this. Listen, the day and the hour that you think that you're greater than Satan is the day and the hour you're setting yourself up to fall. Be very careful. Listen, he is a mighty adversary. Christ is greater, but the devil's a mighty adversary. And we start to think in our own power that we got this, we're in big trouble. We need to recognize who the enemy is. Listen, you don't go into a wrestling match or a football game or a basketball game without knowing who your enemy is. We need to understand. Paul writes, the battle that we face, by the way, is not a physical battle. It is a spiritual battle. So if it's a spiritual battle, that means we need to understand what we're getting into. Listen, you're going into a football game, you don't prepare as if it was a basketball game. That would be ridiculous. Okay? We don't go into a spiritual battle and prepare as if it was a physical battle, because you'll lose. And oftentimes, that's what we do. We go into the realm of the spiritual and try to fight it with physical defenses, and that doesn't work. Because we start to rely on our own strength. We start to rely on our own intelligence. And listen, it is a spiritual battle. Listen, do you have the battle going on in your mind every day? Knowing what the right thing to do is and having the devil tell you, nah. Every day you fight that battle. The old man and the new creature fighting that battle. Paul wrote about it in Romans chapter 7. Listen, we have to understand it is a spiritual battle that we're facing. Paul, in this verse, didn't call us into a spiritual warfare, but basically just said, listen, you are in one. The day that we accepted Christ as our Savior, we joined that spiritual warfare. You don't sit back and go, you know, I'll think about getting into it. No. The minute you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you became the enemy of the devil. And sometimes we say, well, if I just don't live for Christ, he'll leave me alone. You know what? If you don't do anything for Christ, he's already won. So we need to step up to the plate and say, you know what? I'm not going to allow him to defeat me. I'm not going to underestimate him, but I know I can live victoriously. So we need to understand and recognize who the enemy is. And then we need to arm ourselves. Isn't it great that God didn't leave us powerless? He tells us right here, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. Having equipment and not using it is foolish. It's like going into a football game without your equipment. It's sitting on the sideline. You go out there and get yourself killed. God says, take on the whole armor. Put on the whole armor of God. Equip ourselves. It's a spiritual battle, so we need to equip ourselves spiritually. The only way that we will have spiritual victory is with the armor of God. We're not smart enough. Okay? We're not strong enough. We're not wise enough. But if we put on the armor of God, we can have victory. Why did Paul say, put on the whole armor of God? Because he wants us to arm ourselves. If we're gonna live victorious Christian lives, we need to be armed. Too many times we go into the battle and we're unprepared. What does that mean? When a trial comes and we haven't been in the Word, feeding on the Word of God, and all of a sudden a trial comes, what happens? We fall. We feel overwhelmed. But there's a difference. See, when you're in feeding on the Word of God, that doesn't mean the trials aren't going to come. But God has prepared you to go through the trial. And listen, we can go around this room. Every one of us has been through trials. Every single one of us. Heartache and trials. And as we look back, we know only by the grace of God, only by the grace of God do we go through those trials. And the last thing, we need to stand strong. I was reminded as I was putting this together, most of us have seen that movie, Facing the Giants, and this is a great illustration. If any of you have seen the movie, there's that scene towards the end of the movie where it's fourth down and the kid on defense says, stone wall, stone wall. And he says, we won't give in. We're going to put up a stone wall and we're not going to let them beat us. We're not going to let these giants through. And sometimes in our Christian life, we need to be resilient. We need to stand strong in the face of opposition and say, no, no, no. By the power of God in us. I'm not saying we stand in our own strength, but there's times we need to stand strong. The opposition is great. The attacks are coming from everywhere. Don't quit. It's a long race. But God has empowered you. God will give you the strength. He will give you the wisdom you need. Listen, somebody's like, I don't know what to do. Join the club. But God does. Where does wisdom come from? Google? No. Google does not have all the answers, although it has many answers. Google doesn't have all the answers. God does. You say, well, I don't know what to do. God does. You know, when the Israelites were fleeing the Egyptians and they got to the edge of the Red Sea and they looked in front of them, there was no door. They looked right, there was nowhere to go. They looked left, there was nowhere to go. Everywhere they looked, there was no, they couldn't go behind them. They're like, it's like being in a room with no door. You know what? God had a door. And he was about to show them what a great and mighty God he was. But they had to trust him by faith. And they were about to find out God didn't leave them. God, even though they murmured and complained and blamed Moses and all, God didn't leave them. And we need to be faithful in trusting our God. Next thing is the prize. Every athletic competition has a prize. Most of them do anyway. Although nowadays, participation trophies. Don't get me started. I'll leave that one alone for tonight. But every competition, somebody wins, and yes, somebody loses. I don't want to lose. I want to win. And there's a prize. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and in verse 24, again, Paul uses the reference of a race. And in verse 24 of 1 Corinthians 9, he says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain." I'm going to ask you a couple questions. First, do we have a purpose? You know, Paul says, run so that you can obtain. You know what he says? Run so that you can get that prize. Run in a manner that you could be victorious. Run with a purpose. Do we run with a purpose? Do we run our Christian life with a purpose, or do we just wander about aimlessly? Everything we do in life should be for a purpose. We don't just randomly do things without thinking them through, most of the things anyway. You know, our jobs, the decisions we make about school, the decisions, anything, why we buy a house, why, we have a purpose in mind. Why then do we live our Christian life without a purpose? Well, I don't know, I'll figure it out as I go along. How about we say, you know what, I'm going to do everything I can to please my God. I'm going to serve at every opportunity that I have to please Jesus Christ. You say, well, I don't know if I like that. Don't worry about it. Just do it. And then if you don't like it, God will open another door. You know what I found? When you walk through an open door that the Lord opens up, God gives you a love for that. All of a sudden, you thought, I couldn't do this. Listen, I got to be honest. I've told you, teaching, standing up in front of a people, I was the kid in the back of the class. I hid. I didn't want to talk to nobody. That wasn't me. It still isn't me. That's why I wander around a lot up here. Nerves. But you know what? God has given me open doors to do things that I love to do now. It wasn't the way before. Now, if I had said, you know what, God, I'm not comfortable. I'm not doing that. No. Then I wouldn't have seen the blessings that God has enabled me to enjoy. All I'm saying is this. Listen, have a purpose. Do we run with a purpose? Do we have a goal? Are we committed to not only finish the race, but to finish it and having left everything on the field with no regrets? Can you look back and say, you know what? At the end of my life, I want to say, Lord, I did everything I could for you. I wasn't perfect. I made mistakes. But did I left it all on the field? That's my heart's desire. And I don't always do that. But that's what my heart's desire is. I want to give everything I have. Do we have a purpose? Billy Sunday said, more men fail through lack of purpose than lack of talent. You know, we worry about, oh, I'm not gifted at that. Don't worry about it. Just do it. It isn't about us anyway. It's about God. And more often, listen, God will use the talents he gives you. But oftentimes, God, you know, if all we're relying on is our talents, and we're not allowing God to work in us, there's things God enables us to do that we're like, how did I do that? By God's grace. You look back on your life and I say, man, Lord, how did I get here? Whew. It's overwhelming. It's exciting. You know, we were at the prayer advance, and there was a moment where I was just sitting there, and I was sitting with the guys from our church, and man, we were singing and praising God, and it was exciting. What a blessing to be able to sing songs of worship to our God. And I thought, you know, 20 years ago, I wouldn't have been here. I would have been missing out on all this. I thought, this is exciting. This is joyful. This is where I want to be. It's been said that a man without a purpose is like a ship without a rudder. A ship doesn't have a rudder, it just goes wherever. It has no direction. We need a purpose. Second question, do we give our all? In verse 25 of 1 Corinthians 9, Paul writes, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things." That word strive, the Greek word is agonizomai, which basically means to agonize or to struggle. It also talks about to contend in a public game. So basically it's saying to contend in a game, in an event, so much so that you agonize. Do you ever see some of these marathon runners when they get to the finish line? The looks on their faces? They look like they're hurting. They are pained looks. But you know what? What keeps them going? All the hard work, all the training. You know, they got a mile left. They're not going to quit. They don't care how much they have to struggle. That's the idea. You struggle so much so that the agony is on your face. And that's sometimes what the Christian race is like. It's a struggle. We have to agonize. We need to battle that desire to want to quit. Don't quit. Do we give it our all? John Wesley said, I want the whole Christ for my Savior, the whole Bible for my book, the whole church for my fellowship, and the whole world for my mission field. You know what? He didn't want part. Christ doesn't want 25% of us. He wants all of us. He wants us to surrender all, not just bits and pieces. The last thing is, do we play by the rules? In 2 Timothy 2:5, it says, "And if a man also strives for mastery, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." Lawfully. When we play the game, do we play it by our rules or God's rules? Yeah, I know, God, this is a sin, but you know, it's not a big one. I was talking to our Sunday school this morning. Why do we put degrees of sinfulness? Is it to make ourselves feel better? Because you know what? A sin is a sin. Each and every one of them needs to be confessed. We kind of make up our own rules as we go along sometimes in our Christian life. And God says, listen, no, we need to strive lawfully. That means as we run the race, do things God's way, not our own way. My wife and I used to laugh. Our kids used to play wiffle ball in the backyard all the time from the time they were 4 or 5. He's probably going to start laughing when I tell this. And every time I'd go out there, the rules were different. They all knew the rules. I went out there, and I'd play with them, you know, on a weekend. Next week, I'd go out there. Oh, no, that tree's foul. Wait a minute. It was fair last week. It was a home run. No, it's foul. Oh, okay. That's first base. No, I thought that. And every day, the rules would change. And they were fine with it because they made them up as they went along. And that's great when you're playing a backyard wiffle ball game. When you're playing the Christian life, we don't make up the rules as we go along. The rules are right here. God's already decided what the rules need to be. We just need to follow them. So here's the conclusion. Here's the conclusion. 1 John chapter 5. I'm done. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 4. Bible says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." You know what the conclusion is? Victory. In this world, people are more judged on the outcome and the results than they are on how they got there. And that's why you have so many people who are taking shortcuts and even cheating to achieve an outcome. Because the world overlooks how they get there. They only look at the results. Well, guess what? For the Christian, we already know the result. Amen. We are victorious. So you know what matters? How do we get there? No shortcuts. No cheating. Christian life is a long, hard race. But you know what? The victory is ours. How can we be championship Christians? We need to run the race with patience. We need to keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ. We need to have a purpose, a goal. We need to be committed. And then we need to realize, give everything you got Not part. God doesn't want part of us. He wants all of us. And then you know what? When that's all said and done, just remember that we are victors. We have victory in Jesus. And we are more than conquerors. We don't have to live defeated lives. Just keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. Listen, he desires for us to be victorious. Does that mean everything is always going to be the way that we want it to be? No. But as long as we keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, we know he's there with us every step of the way. I'm thinking about that song that I heard this afternoon again. And I think the name of the song is I Am Always With You. Or I Am With You. That's the song. Every time I hear the words, I'm just overwhelmed by the thought that no matter what I'm going through, the Lord is with me. The Lord is with me. I can't even, you know, it's just, I can't even put it into words. What an amazing thought. No matter what you go through in the race, in the Christian life, God is always with you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much that you give us the blueprint, Lord, for being victorious. Lord, we know we have victory in Jesus Christ. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, help us to live our lives in such a way that bring honor and glory to you, Lord, that we can live victoriously. Lord, that we run our race with patience, and that, Lord, we always give everything we have and keep our eyes focused on you. Lord, may our eyes never turn to the left or to the right, but that we would always be seeking you in everything that we do. We love you, Lord, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.